We welcome you aboard to Spectrum. I'm your host, Kevin Sandler. Happy to welcome Natalie Uhlenhake, who is back in town. She's from St. Henry originally. She's a musician. Natalie, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
Share with us, if you would, please, you know, kind of the beginning. You grew up in St. Henry.
Yeah. I did. I grew up in St. Henry, Ohio. I started playing guitar when I was about 12, wrote my first song when I was 13. I did talent shows. I started doing the acoustic soloist thing when I was 15. And so I eventually, you know, saved up my money and took the leap. I moved to Nashville in August of 2023.
Let's, talk about what got you into music to begin with. I mean, we all have favorite artists growing up. It's another thing, obviously, to get a guitar, right?
And try
to
learn how to play it. So definitely, like any other girl my age, I am a huge Taylor Swift fan. But you know, growing up, my mom had a guitar too. She always wanted to learn how to play, and so she would play for me and my younger brother Hayden, when we were, you know, like 4 years old, and she'd sing us songs from The Muppets and, The Wizard of Oz and John Denver songs. And, you know, I just thought it was the coolest thing to watch her play guitar and to sing along with those songs. And so, I had always kind of like tinkered around with hers and then actually started taking lessons a little later.
Well, I was going to say, when you first started to tinker, was it a little discouraging? Like, how do I form these chords? How do I do this?
Yeah, it was difficult, because I'm such a perfectionist that, like, if I wasn't hitting those chords quite right, I was so mad. And like, just like, if you've ever played guitar, or, you know, you play guitar, you know that bar chords are difficult. So one of the first chords I'm trying to learn is an F chord, which is hard. And like, still I find little cheats to get out of doing it because I don't like it. And so, like, that was definitely discouraging. But my guitar teacher will tell you that, like, he swears it was the second lesson. I was so upset and frustrated that I couldn't figure out how to do these chords and how to, like, switch between them. And he started playing One Bread, One Body, which is a church song. And I sang the whole thing. And that's when it clicked. And just from then on, it was easy to figure it out.
It came easy to you, right?
Yeah, for me anyway.
Excellent. And then a quick progression to say that at 12, you got a guitar. At 13, you're writing songs already, you know?
Yeah. Every week I would bring my guitar teacher a new song that I wanted to learn, and he would always say, "Natalie, you can sing. I want to see you write something." I'm like, "No, I can't write. I can't write." And then January, that it would have been almost a year, just under, from when I started taking lessons, January when I was 13. I wrote this song called Free Fallen that will never see the light of day again. But I brought it, and I didn't tell him I wrote it. I just played it. And he goes, "This is a great song. Who sings this? Who wrote it?" I said, "I did." He stuck his pick in his mouth and gave me a high five. He was so happy for me.
That's really neat. I know why you don't want it to see the light of day, because a lot of times when you progress, you might look back and say, "What was I thinking?" But at least it was your start, right?
Yeah, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere.
That's for sure. So you talked about, prior to moving to Nashville, what did you do around here to kind of get yourself familiar with, you know, performing and, you know, and all that?
Yeah. So the first place I ever played was Evergreen Winery outside Coldwater. And after that, it was Gilbert Station. And just from there, it kind of snowballed. I started to get some name recognition. I did that for like 6 years. Before I moved, and
No, it's all right. I would think the first couple times you did it had to be pretty scary,
God,
right?
Yeah, it was terrifying. I would not talk in between any songs, and I would just like read from my book, stare at the book, stare at the floor. Nobody's gonna pay attention to me. I am background music, and then, you know, now I'm playing on Broadway in Nashville, and it's like, if all eyes aren't on me, I'm mad.
There you go. Well, again, you all have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. Not sure if it's for the worse or the better, but
what was that, like, the first time that you finally got comfortable and said, "Hey, look at me, I am here"? Like, you really started to enjoy this.
gosh. I couldn't tell you exactly when, but I remember little moments where, like, people in the bar would start singing along to whatever song I was playing, or people would get up and dance, or it's just like, it's validation, really. It's just like, what I'm doing is good. People enjoy it, and so that's a good feeling. It's fun.
All right. So if you would share with us what, you know, when you decided you wanted to move to Nashville, what motivated you to do that? Obviously, pretty radical move, right?
Yeah, I think my biggest thing was, like, if I don't do this now, you know, I was 20 years old. I had no kids, no boyfriend, no, like, real steady job. And I was like, if I don't do this now, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life.
All right. Well, and that's a good thing, because there is a window, right? They always say it's never too late, but I do think there's a window of when the best time is,
yeah,
you know, to do something.
I wouldn't change a single thing about my journey so far.
Let's hear about that. When you hit town, you know, you got to have a place to live. You got to have a place to work. I mean,
yeah,
again, pretty scary here, right?
Yeah. No, it was terrifying. But my mom and my roommate all went down to Nashville March of 2023. And my roommate's from St. Henry too. We have known each other since preschool. And so we all went down together and we checked out some of the different apartment complexes and, just checked out the town, really got a feel for it. And we ended up moving to the west side of Nashville. Found an apartment there that we loved, and, we both applied to dozens and dozens of jobs before we even got there, and, like, heard back from none of them, or they were like, yeah, no.
Yeah, don't call us. We'll call you, right?
Yeah. And so when I got there, at Tootsie's, every Saturday they have, like, an open mic style audition, in the back room. And so I went there, and I was, I think, the second person on stage that day, but they invited me to what they call their Monday meeting, which is where you meet other performers, and you, like, get to play for, like, the big dogs on that circuit, and that's how you start getting shifts on that circuit anyway. So that's how I got started, and after that Monday meeting, I was like, okay, this is great, but I need a day job. So I walked across the street to the Boots store, and I walked straight up to the first manager I could find, and I said, are you guys hiring? And they took me to the back, and I walked out of there with a job offer.
You know, that's great, because you were applying at all these places, and when it comes down to it, all you had to do was walk in and get a little aggressive, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but, you know, I did that for about 6 months, and then it was good. It was long hours and kind of crazy, but it was good. And you know, I kind of fell out with the Tootsie circuit, and kind of, like, took a break through the winter, and then I came back, and I've been playing at Mellow Mushroom ever since, which is a pizza place, and it's down on Broadway. I've been playing there since February, and I actually just got moved from my first consistent shift that I had there was on Tuesday mornings, and then later they added a band shift for me on Sunday mornings, and both of those, as of the first of the year, are getting moved to Saturday night 6 to 10 and Sunday night 6 to 10, so I'm getting some really cool shifts. I'm really excited about that.
So it sounds like, and we're talking to Natalie Uhlenhake, if you're just tuning in, what you needed to do down there was, obviously, you get a place to live, you get a steady job, and now you got a good, you know, a base, if you will, where you can start to go out and try to get your name out there, or try to get the music out there.
Yeah. And so I've actually released two songs already. My first one, Sunday Best, came out in March. I recorded it in March. It came out in May. My bad. And then my second one is called In the Dark. That came out in the end of October. And I was actually just in the studio this previous Monday and recorded number 3. That's going to be coming out this spring.
These days, just to kind of explain to people, you know, when you have a song recorded, how do you get it out there? We live in the electronic era, right?
So yeah.
When you do release it, you know, what platforms you try to get it on? How do you make money? these days on a song?
Yeah, if you're not like one of the top people, it's difficult. And we do live in the electronic age, so I'm really not dependent on having a publishing deal or a record deal to put my music out. I use a distributor. It's called DistroKid, and it's all online. You pay a fee once a year to release as much music as you want. And then, you know, streaming numbers are really important. So, you know, Spotify, Radio Spins, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all that stuff is factored in. And basically my distributor, DistroKid, collects it for me and then pays me out for it.
All right. What kind of exposure have you been able to get so far? Because that's got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing would be I got to play country concert this past year on the homegrown stage, which was a dream come true.
Yeah, and how much time did you get to play?
An hour.
How neat was that? Did people understand the local connection? I'm sure you told them, right?
You know. A lot of people did. You know, my mom, my parents are both from the area, and my mom works at a bank, and so like she knows a lot of people, and you know they were both there, and so people go, "Oh my God, I know those people there, and wow, that girl looks a lot like Julie."
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then probably 20 people from my graduating class in high school showed up, and they were in the front row, and they knew every single word to the song I had released at that point.
That's great.
It was so much fun.
To record a song, I'm sure some things don't change. You probably wrote the song at home. You record a demo, right? Like, this is what the song is going to be. So what's the process of being in the studio? Like, do you know those musicians? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm sure it's different for everyone. I use Grady James with Studio 45B. And I think it's a little different because he plays just about everything. Like the only two instruments that he'll hire people out for are fiddle and pedal steel.
All right.
Yeah. So he does it all. And when you first come in, you do something called a scratch track, which is like a bass line. So it's just me and my guitar playing the song through. You get the tempo, you get the key, you get the feel, and then we go through it. If anything needs like a little longer break or something, we do the arrangement, can figure all that out. And then you do the drums, the rhythm section, so the bass and the rhythm guitar. And then you do like the lead guitars and the motifs if you have any other instrument. This last song I recorded had a fiddle on it, so that was super cool. And then you do the vocals and the harmonies, and then you tune those and like run it through auto-tune. He has a really cool process for it, so but that really keeps like the original sound there, just fixes the little jazz notes, as we call them. And then you mix and master, and you're done.
All right. How long was that process, like the first time you recorded a song?
10 hours.
10 hours. I think people need to understand that. You know, it's...
It was a long day.
It's not just you're recording a song. You are constructing a track, right? It's a construction project,
yeah,
basically.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. People understand that you can have so many different tracks. You know, you can probably boost or change the sound anywhere. We need more echo here. We need more gain here. Turn this down. I mean, I can see 10 hours easily.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Outstanding. So, you know, for you, if you talk about like what's next, are you just going to try to keep recording these songs, keep getting a name for yourself, right?
That's the plan. Yeah. So, right now I need to just like, I think, focus on the songwriting process and releasing some stuff. I think what's next is I'm going to try pitching songs I've written to bigger artists and to publishers. Try to get somebody bigger than me to sing one of my songs. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that obviously kind of got their start writing for others. Probably a great example, I don't know if you're familiar with who Eddie Rabbit was, but he wrote for Elvis. Got a couple songs out there that got him started, and then he went on and had a great career. So yeah, it would help you to get your name attached, right?
Yeah, another probably more recent example would be Chris Stapleton. He wrote for like 13 years before he ever released his own first song.
You can do pretty good writing songs for other people, though, right?
For sure can.
You get some good money doing that. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's interesting. Not every big artist writes. Some of them do, obviously, like Taylor. But others, they rely on others for the material. They have a wonderful voice. They can really play, but they're not necessarily songwriters.
Exactly.
All right. You know, for you also, when you write a song, what helps you decide this is the one I want to record? Do you get feedback from your producer? And sometimes are they honest and say, try this instead?
Yeah, for sure. But when I'm booking studio time, like, I already know which one I want to do. So I think the bigger factor with the Nashville scene is writer's rounds, which is basically an hour set at a time, and you would probably have like four. And then you have anywhere from like 2 to 4 writers on stage at a time, and they just play their original songs in a circle. And that's a really great way to crowd test, because everybody there knows they're there for original music, and you can see what works, what doesn't, and you talk to people later, and they're like, man, I really, really liked this song that you did, or, man, I wasn't the biggest fan of this one, if you are open to criticism.
Yeah, sometimes I'm sure that can go rough. Sometimes I'm sure you agree, and then other times you're like, wait a minute, that song's my baby. You
know, yeah.
I'm proud of that song. And also understand that they're not necessarily right either. Somebody else might hear it and say, that's a great song.
It's all subjective.
Yeah, and I think we've all been there a time or two. We have our favorite songs, and somebody says something negative, and we're like, hey, now.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can still be friends.
Hold
What's
on
going
a
on
second.
Here? Yeah. Lose my number.
Yeah.
So maybe also to give people an idea, you know, you've talked about how hard you worked to learn the instruments, to write songs. You uprooted yourself, moved to Nashville. Talk about, you know, like not only the time commitment, but as you said, you have a job, you have bills to pay, and you got to save up. I'm sure studio time's not cheap at all.
Not at all.
No, and also, you know, with that as well, have you been relatively satisfied with how the product comes out? A feeling of, I wrote that. Listen to that. We did. This is a professional recording.
Yeah, it's a fun process, especially like if I look at old videos of like maybe the first time I recorded it after I wrote it, and I'm like, it went from this to this. That's so cool.
Yeah, a lot of times some of the most beloved songs, when we hear the demo, we think, oh my goodness, right? I mean, you wouldn't think that could ever be a hit song because it sounds not close to what it was. The acoustics might not have been good. They were in their living room or something, and it evolved into an epic masterpiece, right?
Studio magic.
There you have it. There you have it. Have you, you've talked about how you're trying to write songs, you know, for other people. Maybe you could talk about how difficult it may be to get noticed. Obviously, when you're not the first person to come to Nashville with a dream.
Absolutely not.
Putting it mildly, right?
Yeah, I think you just have to know that you're bringing something new to the table, something exciting. And, you know, honestly, half of it, probably more than half of it, is knowing the right people. So just continuing to network and find the people with connections and build those relationships.
I would think also that people would realize how far you came, that this is the commitment you have. You moved here. You know, you're working it. I mean, I'm sure people would respect that, too.
You would think so. I mean, like everybody in that city did. So you're up against some tough competition. But I think most people are good, and most people are willing to help the person behind them. And, like, it's Nashville has this air around it about, like, man, it's cutthroat. And it is. But really, like, I've not met a person who wasn't willing to help somebody else, and we really are a community who looks out for each other.
So if you can share with us how people can follow you, how they can hear your music, how do they get connected to you, so to speak?
For sure. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at Natalie U Music, or just look up Natalie Yolenhake. You'll find me. There's not many of us.
Yeah, that's a good reason not to change your name.
Right? Yeah, right.
You will stand out.
That's for sure. That's actually a big reason why I kept it.
I don't blame you. It's good.
Yeah.
Thinking.
And then if you look, you know, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, you'll find me. I have 2 songs out as of now. That is Sunday Best and In the Dark, and 4 Kids in a Picket Fence coming out this spring.
Outstanding. We'll be listening for that. We'll be in touch. Natalie, thanks for dropping by. We appreciate it. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. If you missed any part of this program, we'll have it online at WCSMRadio.com.